father of Houston sports radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst. You found The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Todd Kallas joining us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. At Real Todd Kallas on Twitter. He's the play-by-play announcer of the Astros games on AT&T Sportsnet. And I assume, well, right now it's AT&T Sportsnet. Don't know what it's going to be. Todd, it wasn't that long ago. I mean, just a couple of weeks ago that we found out that Warner Brothers and Discovery getting out of the regional sports business here in the city of Houston. When you first saw that story or when you first heard about this, I was like, hey, how are we going to watch our baseball? I can't imagine what it would be like for you hearing this for the first time.
Yeah, it was something that kind of caught us off guard with in terms of how quick it happened. We thought it was going to be something towards the end of the season, maybe after the baseball season. But for it to all come down before the season starting was a little surprising. But being a team employee, we knew we were going to be okay. But I think for Astros fans, the bottom line is this year everything's going to be status quo. Everything's going to be on AT&T Sportsnet. It'll be the same broadcast team, hopefully for years going forward, too. Things are going to change in terms of where we might see the games after this year. But in terms of 2023, you won't notice any differences.
Nothing different. Todd Kallas, that's nice. That is really good to hear. It's good to see that you guys have been retained, and hopefully it's a great, great team. I imagine you guys, hey, speaking of family, like, well, my peeps from Lulings were all down there last week, right? All Margie and them and the whole gang down there with your wife and all. And it's got to feel like I would imagine it feels like family because you guys make it seem that way on the broadcast.
Yeah, I'm pretty lucky. Not only did I roll into a situation where I watched the team and called a team game who's been to the ALCS for six straight years. That's never happened before. But I also rolled into a situation where Jeff Lund and Julian Morales were already here. They had already established a fan base here. Fans love those two. So I was just kind of lucky to work in with those three. They're great to work with. We've had a lot of fun. We're beginning our seventh season. Blummer and Julian are now in their 11th season. So, yeah, it is like a family. We just kind of try and treat a broadcast like if you were hanging out with us in the living room watching a game. So it's been pretty cool to be a part of all this in the golden era of Astros baseball.
I want to ask you about something that irks me, and I know John, a lot of Astros fans, and it pertains to, and I don't think anyone's probably asked you this publicly, but does it bother you to hear, listen, we know what happened with the Astros, and the Astros were accountable, and most Astros fans would admit what they did was wrong, but it just bothers me so bad, Todd, that there is this misconception that somehow Jose Altuve was some type of ringleader in the face of a cheating scandal. It just, because of the person, who he is as a person, who he is as a player, his all-time greatness, it just really sits very poorly with me to this day. I can't get over the fact that so many fans still have this hatred.
Are misinformed.
Well, they're just misinformed. Yeah. Are you just over it? Does it not bother you? Or does that kind of thing bother you based on what you know about Jose?
Yeah, no, it does. It does bother me, Lance. And I don't think I have been asked about it publicly, but Jose is the ultimate team player. As you guys know, you've talked to him plenty of times. He will always defer to his teammates and how great somebody else is doing or how great the team is. He very, very rarely is comfortable talking about himself. And in that same vein, he's never going to separate himself from the guys in 2017, even though it's been proven time over time. And people within the clubhouse know this, and people who have watched games on TV and deciphered when the actual banging was happening and when the actual guys were using that system. And two, they never used it. He used it like two times. He's like, this isn't for me. So, yeah, it's unfortunate. He is one of the faces, if not the face of the franchise currently. So from that standpoint, opposing teams are always going to be on his case for whatever reason, even though he wasn't really part of that scandal. And he'll always be guilty by association, even though he was innocent in that whole process. Really, those Altuve, Josh Reddick, and Tony Kemp, those three, if you get down to it, would be absolved from using the system that other people used in 2017. So it does bother me because it tarnishes what he accomplished, not only in 2017, but what he's accomplished in his career. The one thing we have noticed, though, guys, is it doesn't faze him. Yeah.
No.
All the booing, all the heckling, all the yelling. As much as teams fans get on him in the opposing ballpark, it's almost like a catalyst for him. It doesn't faze him.
No, as a matter of fact, He's leaned into it. He's awesome. Just what a great person, and just it is. It's awful how he's become because of John Boy and you know that home run that he hit against the Yankees. It's just awful. Todd Callis with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What else is awful is his broken thumb. And we've been talking about it. You know, it could be 10 weeks or whatever that he's going to miss. Who knows when he comes back? But Todd, being off that long as well and not seeing live pitching for all of that time, we're not even sure how he's going to come back when his thumb does heal. So this is possibly a real big issue, losing that guy for whatever amount of time, losing that guy in this order.
No doubt about it. You're not going to lose a Jose Altuve and not be impacted. That is a big blow to the Astros offensively. You lose your leadoff hitter. I think the numbers the last few years with him in the lineup and with him out of the lineup is like a 0.7 run differential for the offense. So it's significant. But, yeah, he's going to be out 8 to 10 weeks. In the past, we have seen Jose a little bit more of a quick healer than others in terms of what timelines have been. But to your point, he is going to start the season, let's just say, sometime in late May or early June. And at that point, he is going to be 2 months behind guys who have been in the big leagues and pitching all season long. So there is going to be a little bit of a curve for him to build up to get to the point where he's comfortable. So we might not see typical Jose Altuve until almost mid-June. It took him about 4 or 5 games this spring before he looked really comfortable in the box. Part of that was getting used to the new rules as well. But, yeah, it's really disappointing to see Altuve out for this amount of time. He'll turn 33 while he's on the injured list. He's trying to get towards 2,000 hits this season, and it's going to be put on hold for a little while. But they'll figure it out. They seem to have done okay in the past losing other guys, so they'll figure it out. But Altuve not being in the lineup is certainly a big blow.
It's a big blow, but, you know, the pitching staff looks like it's certainly able to stand up and do their bit. Christian Javier. So you always saw Christian Javier had great stuff in the past. You knew he had the stuff, and then last year it really, you know, we really saw it all come together. How there's a big expectation now, and there's a lot of expectations around Major League Baseball and with the Astros for Javier to step up and maybe be a 1A along with Fromber. What are your expectations for those two guys as ones and twos? Of course, they've pitched without Justin Verlander and Lance McCullers at different times. But now you've got Justin Verlander is gone. He's not going to be here. Who takes over the number one role, the true number one when it's all said and done?
Yeah, the true number one for me is Fromber Valdez right now. I think Fromber has earned it over what he's done in the past couple of seasons, becoming one of the top pitchers in all of baseball, the consecutive quality start streak, setting a major league record last season. And then I think you're right. I think with Lance on the IL to start the season, you're looking at Christian Javier as probably your number two starter. So that's a little different for Javi because he's always been the number four, number five guy in the rotation. But as he proved in the World Series and as he proved at Yankee Stadium and as he proved with the opponent's batting average against the last few years, he's one of the toughest pitchers in baseball just to put a bat on the ball. I mean, he just has that fastball that rides up in the zone and guys can't seem to get on top of it. They either swing underneath it or they pop it up. And he's got nasty stuff. He's always going to have nasty stuff. And I can see him really thriving in that number two spot because the one thing we have learned about Javier through the years, he's got the personality that's kind of sneaky funny behind the scenes, but he's also a guy that nothing fazes him. So being the number two guy, when you've been a 4 or 5 guy, might be a little daunting for some guys, but I don't think it's going to impact Christian.
Chandler Rome reporting this morning that Michael Brantley won't be ready. Jordan's got his hand. McCullers won't be ready. Altuve's not there. We've been pretty spoiled. We haven't had this kind of adversity injury-wise. We had Verlander, obviously, and we've had McCullers in the past. But, man, this is starting a little bit different than we usually do.
You're right. I think you're paying a little bit for 2022 when we had one of the healthiest seasons I've ever seen, including a pitching staff that hardly had any injuries where they couldn't find a place to get Hunter Brown a start until late in the year. So, yeah, it is. It ebbs and flows. Last year was an incredible year in terms of health, and this year it's starting out the other direction, unfortunately. Hoping to see some at-bats here soon from Jordan Alvarez. I think, you know, you prefer to see 20 to 25 spring training at-bats before the season starts, and unless he gets in a game soon, he might not get to that number. Brantley looks like he might not be ready for opening day. We already know our 2-day situation. The good news is for the lefties, for Yordan and Michaels, I think those guys will both be back. If Yordan's not ready for opening day, I'd be surprised, but everybody's told me he will be. And then Michael shortly thereafter. So it's not like those guys are going to be an extended period of time away, we don't think right now. But, yeah, it's not ideal when you have the guy that was third in the major leagues in OPS, Yordan Alvarez, the guy that was fourth in the major leagues in OPS, Jose Altuve, and the guy that's a perennial 300 hitter and has one of the smoothest swings in baseball, Michael Brantley, all dealing with injuries right now. But that's the reality that Dusty Baker and the Astros face.
Do you have a breakout player for this year that you're expecting something from?
So, I mean, the easy answer would be Justin Dearden based on what we've seen this spring, because he might make the roster if Brantley starts the year on the IL. He would be the easy guy. And I think it's not really a breakout, but I think the guy who's going to exceed his numbers that people expect by even more and be an MVP candidate, I think Kyle Tucker is going to have a huge year this year. I think Tuck has looked locked in from day one. I think the new rules in baseball that are going to be an advantage for stolen base guys, and he's our best stolen base threat on the team, are going to give him a chance to catch his number of 30 steals in a year. He'll probably steal 30 or more, I would think, based on what he's done in the past. I think Tuck, you know, Yordan Alvarez, if he's healthy for the entire year, is always going to be the Astros' top MVP candidate, as he was last year. But I think Tucker this year could be good enough to be in that MVP race. I think he's going to have a monster season.
It's kind of scary. You know, looks like we only got 3 years left to Tucker. I don't know what, you know, the contract extension, but Jim Crane has been adamant about not giving out, you know, longer than five. He's never exceeded that. So this will be interesting to see whether or not they can get some. We'd all love to see Tucker in an Astros. He's going to be fantastic. We'd all love to see him in an Astros uniform for a long term, for his entire career.
No doubt, and that's going to be a major topic for as long as Tucker's not signed. So, you know, Yordan signed that extension, and I think Yordan is by far, or has been at least the last couple of years, put up the better offensive numbers, but Tucker's the better all-around player. He runs, he just won a gold glove. They're both about the same age, so I think the Astros got a really good deal with Yordan Alvarez, and I think Yordan was happy to get some security and sign that deal as well. But I think Tucker's looking for a bigger deal in terms of years and in terms of overall numbers. So there's going to be some negotiating that goes on back and forth. And I can't imagine Tucker in a different uniform, as much as it hurts to lose, you know, George Springer and Carlos Correa and other pitchers throughout the time, Justin Verlander and Gerrit Cole and Charlie Morton. It's going to be especially painful to lose to Kyle Tucker, because some of those other guys left a little bit later than where Tucker is in his career.
Any chance he leads Tucker off? He did a couple of times early in spring training. Or is that Pena's job? Now with Brantley gone, any chance Tucker bats second?
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I think Tucker could move into that two spot. So if Yordan's healthy, Tucker and Alvarez, Dusty always likes separating them by a hitter. You know, he doesn't like the lefties back-to-back, even though both those guys have proven they can hit lefties as well as righties. So I think if you're looking at a lineup where you have to space those guys, you'd probably rather have Tucker possibly two and Yordan four, as opposed to, say, Yordan three and Tucker five. That's just me talking and what you suggested. So I think in that scenario, you could look at a Pena, Tucker, Bregman, Alvarez, Jose Abreu, first five. But, again, Dusty's got a lot of good options, especially when you got a guy that has led the American League in RBIs and been an MVP 3 years ago in Jose Abreu. If he hits anywhere 1-5, you're in good shape. And if he's five, that's a pretty good lineup still.
Yeah, he's had Brantley second before with Yordan third. So maybe. We'll see. Interesting developments with Michael Brantley as well. Hopefully he'll be better and be back out there. Uncle Mike, what a locker room. I mean, it's got to be a pleasure for you. We talked a little bit about Jose Altuve, but that entire locker room, the guys that are in there, and how the camaraderie that we see it on television, you see it up close.
It's a great clubhouse, no doubt about it. And I think that's one of the reasons why young players can thrive in that clubhouse. You know, things have changed over baseball. It's evolved over the years. The rookies are not just guys that have to sit in the corner and not be heard from and not say anything. But these guys embrace rookies as much as any team I've ever been around. So when a Jeremy Peña comes in here, he feels comfortable right away, and he's able to be the best version of Jeremy Peña, whether it's early in the season or in the postseason that we saw last year. Chaz McCormick the same way. Some of these young pitchers that have thrived, that are good buddies, that are part of the core of the rotation right now, all the same. It's a multicultural clubhouse, and everybody gets along well. There's not one particular leader, per se. George was kind of the guy back in the day, and then Carlos Correa took that role over a little bit. And there's not one guy that stands out. Altuve kind of leads by example. Michael Brantley does some things behind the scenes. He's kind of a quiet leader, but there's not one guy that you can point to and say that guy's the leader of the team. So they just all kind of blend together well. It is a phenomenal clubhouse, and winning also helps. When you win 100 games or more for the years the Astros have, that'll also help the clubhouse.
Always helps. That's Todd Kalas, the voice of your Houston Astros on television. AT&T Sportsnet, still alive. And Todd Kalas, Jeff Blum, and what a great team. With Julia Morales, what a great team it is. We really appreciate you, Todd. Love hearing you night in and night out on the broadcast. We really appreciate your time here. Thanks for joining us again.
All right. See you guys. John, Lance, I appreciate it. By the way, Ash is filling in for me today, so everything's good. I just get an off day today. I'm spring training.
You deserve a day off at spring training, Todd. Okay? Don't feel bad about it. That's fine. We're fine with it. Good stuff. Todd Kalas with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.